So we've been in this series. This is the fourth week in our shadow series, our illumined shadow series. That part's important. And, you know, whenever we look at shadows, it's not always fun, but it's really important. And it's a really important part of our spiritual journey and our understanding of who we are, both personally and how we are connected to the collective. And so this week, we're looking at three types of consciousness. It's sort of an overview of the whole wave, if you will. And these types of consciousness were identified in Sharif Abdullah's book, Creating a World That Works for All. So this is the last in this series. And these types of consciousness, I'll just give you kind of an overview of them so you kind of have a sense of what the three are. The first is keeper consciousness, and they have historical grounding place. So the keeper consciousness is more of an indigenous people's kind of way of seeing the world and experiencing the world. A keeper consciousness is about harmony. It's about reverence for life. And it has a focus on the local ecology, kind of the area in which the people live. And so there's a harmony with all the beings in that local ecology. And then along comes, as you know, in our whole, if you look at our whole history, the breaker consciousness, the consciousness that that really quickly changed keeper consciousness in many ways and brought forth all kinds of innovation, but also at great cost. So there is a sense of domination, there is a sense of competition, there is also a sense of ingenuity. So there's like take the good and the difficult that come with that and the challenging that come with that, right? If there was a word that sort of encapsulate the keeper consciousness, it would be reverence. If there was a word that encapsulated the breaker consciousness, it would be self. It's about creating a world that works for me is the breaker consciousness as a part of it. And the last form of consciousness is the one in which we find ourselves sort of at a precipice. We're still in breaker consciousness, but what wants to be birthed is mender consciousness. And what we see little windows of are mender consciousness on the planet. Mender consciousness will transform breaker consciousness and will take kind of the best of both. So we'll take the values from keeper consciousness and bring them forward, but in a different world, in a transformed world, in which we operate with technology and all kinds of tools. And so mender consciousness is where we are on the edge of and what we're headed toward. And if there was one word that could encapsulate that, it would be compassion. So I was thinking this morning about, I'd already written my talk, and as spirit would have it, sometimes I wake up with something different or new, sometimes completely different, but thank goodness that wasn't one of those mornings. And this morning, it was really just about an example that really, I feel, encapsulates the process of these historical waves and where we are now. There's a place called Casa de Maria, the House of Mary. It's a retreat house in Santa Barbara. Anybody ever heard of it or been to it? It's actually technically in Montecito, right next to Santa Barbara. Ciel's been there. A couple people have been there. They have wonderful, all kinds of, now it's an interfaith retreat center. Well, actually now it's being mended, and I'll tell you the story. So in the beginning, it was Chumash territory. It was the tribe of the Chumash lived there, the nation of Chumash, and they lived in an oak woodland, and they harvested the acorns there, and the Chumash lived both inland and along the coast in that area. And then along came some of the breaker consciousness, and the padres from the mission came and they began to build things on that land. And over time then a rancher bought the land and more buildings went up on the land. And for a long time that were the owners. And at some point a Catholic nun bought the land and it became a Catholic retreat center with mostly nuns running it. And then it morphed into this interfaith retreat center where people from all over the world come. And it's beautiful. It's a very harmonious kind of sense. They have organic gardens and they have a labyrinth and lots of outdoor space that's really gorgeous. And then the mudslides came last year, January 2018, and it's been out of service since. But it's in a mender mode. There's a lot of healing going on in the land and restoration going on in the land. When I first came to Santa Barbara, when Brenly and I were trying to, you know, decide where we were coming in California. She says we threw a dart. I said, oh, no, I think we kind of guided that dart. And we ended up in Santa Barbara. And this was one of the places we visited before we even moved. And this sculpture is something that moved me more than anything that was on that land. And I want to just share that with you in a slide. It's called Transformation Through Forgiveness. And it's this really powerful piece that is half Native American man and half eagle. And you know, the eagle is the symbol of our nation, and it is also, it has that sense of big picture, right? The eagle flies very high, can see the big picture. And so this is sort of part of that keeper to mender consciousness that we're headed toward. This piece is, well, you can see how beautiful it is, and if you stand below it, it's about as high as these lights, so it's pretty profound piece to stand. I actually happened to get a hold of the sculptor between services because I wanted to know if it survived the mudslide, and it did not. So that's a little heartbreaking. And it's kind of part of where we're at. This is the shadow. This is the piece that we have to dip into every so often and just feel a little bit of the heartbreak. Because when it breaks that old consciousness, and it opens us, it breaks through, it breaks down the old ways of being, it offers us a way to break through, and it offers us a way to break open. So when our hearts break, as much as we don't want that to happen, it breaks them open for greater compassion, for greater healing, for greater possibility, for greater everything that we dream of, the harmony, the peace, the joy that we want all of us to experience, what we long for, the spiritual hunger. The breaker consciousness has underneath it a spiritual starvation. It can't sustain us anymore. And we're at that point, you know. So here's the good news about that sculpture. I don't want to wait. I was going to tell you at the end of this talk, but I don't even want to make you wait that long. So she made replicas of that. A little bit smaller, bronzed replicas. One stood at the beginning of the Trail of Tears in Oregon at a university and made its way to the end of the Trail of Tears. And she was just telling me, she was just bubbling over on the phone about this just now, 10 minutes ago. Well, no, 45 minutes ago. Anyway, it doesn't matter. A little bit ago. But she said that when they went to the end of the Trail of Tears and they established it at Northeastern State University in Oklahoma, that is where there is the largest enrollment of Native American college students in the nation. And they had a forgiveness ceremony, forgiving our forefathers for whatever has, all that has happened, you know, in our push to innovate the Trail of Tears that has been left behind. So the good news is it still stands, and it stands in a very significant place. And so do we. So do we. You know, as much as you might have the times of, like in our first of this series, of feelings of anxiety about our world, we're still standing. And we're standing in a place where there's great meaning and great possibility and great opportunity. Remember the Chinese meaning for the word crisis is opportunity. So when you bump up against the feeling that we're in crisis, know, oh, that's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for me and everyone around me to break through into a whole new way of seeing and being and knowing and feeling and relating and creating together. So it is an exciting time to be alive. As hard as it sometimes is, it's a really exciting time to be alive. It's a time of passion. It's a time of igniting that passion in us and building a whole new world. I mean, really, we are all here by divine appointment at this time and this place. And there are days when I know you'd rather put a blanket over your head and unplug from everything that could tell you how ain't it awful it is, right? But there's also the need and the desire and the will of us to take that blanket off and to stand up and to move out, even when our hearts might feel broken, into a world, into a whole new world that we're co-creating together. So it's an exciting time to be moving into mender consciousness. We are both hospicing breaker consciousness and and midwifing mender consciousness. We're between stories. The cultural historian Thomas Berry, who's just fabulous, if you ever want to look up his stuff if you don't know him, said, "We are in trouble now because we're between stories." That's all. The old story is no longer functioning properly, and we have not yet learned the new story. But we are learning together, right? One step at a time, we are learning together. And that's the good news. Sharif Abdullah calls the whole scene of the breaker consciousness and what we've created in terms of getting to this brink of unsustainability, the mess. And I say, bless the mess. You know, bless it. We'll just bless the mess. We acknowledge it. It's out of the shadows. It's in the light. We can't ignore it anymore. Bless the mess. And then take what we can and move forward. Reach back into the values of keeper consciousness, knowing that we can't live in that local ecology so much anymore because we already are in the global web. And that's the world we've created. So good. So how beautiful that is. The World Wide Web has connected us through keeper consciousness. And so we can take that out into the web of life and be in the web of life. And along the way, we have to use each of the illumined shadows that we've done along the way. So the second week was lack to abundance. So recognizing that we are, there is enough. We are enough. And we're in the era of where abundance is enoughness. It's sustainable. So it's a different lens than maybe you learned about 10, 20 years ago in your prosperity classes of more, more, more. We're not in the more, more, more phase anymore. We're in the how can I take what is here and make use of it in positive ways. I mean, it starts with really simple things. Like the other day, we inherited plastic chairs from Sheila at the house, and maybe she inherited from the person before, I'm not sure. But there's a couple of them that are kind of disintegrating, you know? So they were propped up at the fence to go out to the landfill, essentially, right? Ultimately. And I was looking at them and I thought, you know, maybe we could repaint those and get enough of a sheen on them that they would be protected. And we wouldn't have to put them in the landfill that way, and we wouldn't have to go buy more stuff like that. Well, we wouldn't have to anyway, right? But if I wanted four chairs, then I might do that. So it's those little things, you know? If we just refashion what we have and get off the train of more is better or there's not enough and realize we are enough and we have enough and we can just reuse what we have. That's one small way in which we make a leap toward mender consciousness and toward embodying this kind of consciousness. It's easier for us, as Sharif says, to live the breaker story even when we see that it's dysfunctional than to change it. But we didn't come here for the easy road. I mean, it is easy when we sync up with spirit. There can be times where there is an easy flow, for sure. But we also have big challenges in front of us. And that's just the way it is in a positive way. That's just, it's the moment of recognition and allowing and accepting and then moving forward into what it is that we vision, what it is that we want, what it is that we know in our heart of hearts, in the deepest wisdom of our beings, what is coming forth, what we are birthing and midwifing all at once. So there's a story that really kind of encapsulates the breaker story well. In 1776, Captain Cook arrived, he was a British explorer, arrived on an island in the Indian Ocean. And he left behind a couple of rabbits, thinking there might be other sailors who came along and would like some food. And so the rabbits had this really, people already know where it's going. It's getting close to Easter time, so we know. We've got spring fever. We understand rabbits. So there was this lush grass all across the island, right? So the bunnies had plenty to eat. And of course, they began to eat. And they began to have lots of sex. And they began to eat. And they had plenty of water. I mean, it was bunny haven, you know? It's like, this is what we do. And so halfway through the grass on the island, they're looking around, all these happy bunnies going, wow, look how much grass we have left. Chomp, 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 you know, let's multiply some more. You get the idea of where we're headed, right? Pretty soon, no grass, no more bunnies. So I know, sorry. Again, shadow, right? It's like we're just shining little lights every so often, and it does make us go, oh, right? And we're not there yet. There's always hope. And so we can see these stories as a wake-up call to move us, to spark us, to help us ignite that passion in one another, to move together in the direction that we want to move. Lester. Lester Milbreath wrote Envisioning a Sustainable Society. And in it he said, life on planet Earth is like a one-year movie. If you can imagine it as a metaphor of it's a movie that takes place over a one-year time period. And so from the beginning of life on the planet up until the last 11 minutes, humans come on the scene. And then it goes to the last 2 seconds of the movie, and that's when the breaker consciousness dawns on Earth. So in 2 seconds, we have brought ourselves to that place of going, huh, this lifestyle is not sustainable anymore. This consciousness is not sustainable anymore. And so what can we bring forth, and how will we do it? That's really the question with which we stand. You know, one of the things that we know are some things that we learn along the way, that the old ideologies, the old ideas and ways of being, you know, we keep those, we don't change, yet life changes so fast. So we're kind of resting on these old ideas of what the American dream is, and that wealth can save us, and that more stuff is a good thing, and, you know, these old ideas, and yet the world has changed. 2 seconds, look how much it changed. You know, it's changing so quickly, and so it's a catch-up with that. It's a catch-up to understand that. And that Fox, the spiritual teacher, said, I would much rather counsel somebody who was wealthy than somebody was poor, because the wealthy people know that money won't solve their problems. And so then he could go to the next level with them. Otherwise, people without means will keep trying to get from coach to first class, you know? And so that will be the because that is breaker consciousness and what we have perpetuated, right? But it's not, of course, about wealth out there. It's about wealth in here. And that's what mender consciousness brings. That's what the opportunity is for us to birth into the world, is wealth and abundance of love, is wealth and abundance of compassion. Sure, it can be money, too, because it's a great tool. But that's just a part of the whole, of the essence of what we bring forth and what we share with one another. Do you know the story of Jacob? The story of Jacob from the Hebrew scriptures. So Jacob has a long story, and I'll just tell you a couple of the highlights. At the beginning of his story, he has a brother Esau, who's a very hairy man. And he's a hunter, you know, he's kind of like the man's man guy. He, you know, he's a tough guy. And Jacob is more clever, more intellectual, it seems. And so he and his mother drum up this plan for Jacob to steal Esau's blessing, because the father is going to give one blessing, and it should go to Esau according to birth order and so on. And so so he and his mom make this stew, which Esau would have made after he hunted. He would have brought a stew into his father, but his father is going blind, so he can only know which son is there by their scent and their feel. So Jacob puts on animal skin so he feels furry. And he comes in and he brings the stew and he asks his father for the blessing. And his father says, I want to touch you. And he touches his arm and he can feel the hair, although he thinks he sounds a little bit different than Esau. He questions it for a minute, but then he accepts it and he gives Jacob the blessing. Well, Esau comes back in for the hunt to make the stew to bring in for his father for the blessing, and finds out his brother has stolen his blessing. Now, Jacob needs to get out of town fast. And so mom and dad come up with a plan. We're going to send you over to this land far away to live with Uncle Laban. And so Jacob, and you'll find a wife there and so on. And so he goes on, and he does, and he finds many wives, and he prospers greatly, and he has you know, all kinds of livestock of every kind. And after many years with Laban and he and Laban kind of tricking one another, it's time for him to make his way home. And so with this herds and herds of animals and his enormous family, they begin to make their way home. But there's something in the pit of his stomach, you know, because he's going to at some point have to deal with Esau. And so he comes to the river ford, to the ford Jabbok, and he sends his family across and he wants to spend the night there by himself. In the meantime, he has found out that Esau is coming his direction with 400 men. So now he's really scared. And so he has this whole night where he's turning. Anybody ever have this? Wrestling with a problem, wrestling with an angel, wrestling with a man, wrestling with God, because the scriptures name it all those different ways. In metaphysics, angel is divine idea. So you could say he's wrestling with trying to get at the divine idea. And he's, as he wrestles with the angel, he demands that there be a blessing. He demands a blessing out of this difficult challenge, this seeming crisis. And in a way, we're kind of like Jacob, you know, we're wrestling with the problem. We're looking at the where we've come. We're working to try to bring forth that divine idea and that blessing to move forward with us. And he's so afraid of what's going to come next that, you know, and he's so willful that his hip gets thrown out of the socket. Now, the hip is the personal will. So it's like all the ego resistance gets broken down. And this, too, is a place that we come to, right, where we have to let go of some of the ways that we're attached to or some of the things we're attached to let the personal will just sort of be thrown out so we can surrender to spirit, to that divine idea that wants to come forward. And with his strength, you know, Jacob demands the blessing, and he comes forward now. It's time, and he's limping the next day and probably very tired. To go see his brother, right? And he's got all the folks with him. He sends a couple of them ahead of him, and then some are to his side and some are behind him. And he comes and he, with courage and fear mixed together, meets with his brother Esau. And does anybody remember what happens? Esau embraces him. And he says, "My brother, how long we've been apart." That's really where we are and where we're headed as menders. Because the mender says, "I'm not in the blame game anymore. I'm not worried about who did what to whom and how we got here, because there's not time for that, and it's not productive. I'm here to forgive. I'm here to bring compassion. I'm here to unite, not just to unite in acute crisis, an acute opportunity like an earthquake or a fire when we all are one and we work together with ease and we're all about helping our neighbors, but to know that we're in that chronic place of opportunity and to show up that way every day, uniting with each other. That last shadow that we looked at last week was other to one. That the otherness breaks down and we come forth from that place of we are one, we are in this together, all of us. The ones that we want to spend the time wagging our fingers at and saying you're wrong or you got it wrong or you did it wrong before, it's wasted time and energy. And so to let all that divisiveness go and separation fall away and come to this place of unition and understanding and possibility and opportunity. That's where we stand now at this precipice, this place of birthing forward, this mender consciousness. We have to have a little window, a little idea of who we are as menders to bring forth the menders, but we don't have to be totally there. It can be kind of a, you know, messy thing. We're partway there. We're partway in breaker consciousness, and we're partway in mender consciousness, and we appreciate the values from keeper consciousness, and we know that we're moving forward into this new era, and we know where we're headed. Not exactly. We don't exactly have the how, which is the way that we co-create with spirit anyway, right? We can't see the whole picture, but we can cast a vision. We can get a clue, an idea, a feeling of where we're headed. And that, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited about where we could be, about where we are headed, about the glimpses that we see now in our world of these moments that unite us as brothers and sisters, one and all, with all life. So this old to the new, you know, there's another Hebrew story where the Israelites are wandering around in the desert and Moses is leading them. And it's been 40 years in the desert, right, which means whatever it takes. And there, it really does in Hebrew numerology, it means whatever it takes. So they're getting close to the border of Canaan, the land of milk and honey, the promised land, right? It's time for a new era. It's time to go into that place that we have only dreamed about, have been told about, or caught a little bit of a vision of. And so we're all there. And what happens in the story, in order to enter the promised land, the old generation has to die off, including Moses. I mean, Moses is 120. It's come. It's his time has come. And so what that means metaphysically is the old way of being, the old consciousness, the old ideas have to die away in order to enter the promised land. The breaker consciousness has to break down, break through, and we need to break open so that we can step into the mender consciousness fully, into the promised land, into the place that flows with milk and honey. And what does that mean, to flow with milk and honey? That there is enoughness, right? That there is celebration. That there is everything that we want, that sense of harmony and unition. So that's where we're headed. That's where we're on the brink of. That's where we stand beside. We might have to throw out our personal will to get there. We might have to break down some of the ego resistance. And there will be some of that because we kind of like our breaker lives, don't we? I mean, I like my stuff, and it doesn't mean we don't have to give up all of our stuff, but, you know, it's just not that mentality, of creating a world that works for me. So here's an important piece, too, in the how-to we do this, how we move into mender consciousness. There's a story that illustrates this in creating a world that works for all, where there's an old town, which is where we are now, and the folks in the old town have to cut a path to the new town. And so some of the residents of that old town keep sharpening their swords. And so they to microscopic sharpness, you know, every day there they are at their wheel, sharpening their swords, preparing to cut the path to the new town, the mender way of being, the promised land, if you will. And if you ask the folks there who keep sharpening their swords, hey, you know, why don't you just try to use it? It looks pretty sharp. They'll say, oh, no, it's not sharp enough yet. And then there's another part of town where the residents are hacking through the brush, you know, and their blades are dull and rusted and even broken. And so now they're just kind of casting aside their tools and they're just using their bare, bloody hands to try to, you know, take out the underbrush to cut the path. And you say to them, hey, why don't you take a moment and sharpen your sword? And they'll say, oh, no, there's no time for that. This is urgent. We got to get to the other side, you know. And they might urgently break through to the other side and not even recognize where they are because it's all about action and all about doing. These are the activists of our time. And you might find yourself, I don't know, not going to speak for you, over on the sword sharpening side. One more book, one more class, one more workshop. I'm going to get this down. If I just meditate 2 more minutes a day, you know, and, you know, boy, that heart is looking good, you know, but of what use until it's put out into the world. And so there's some kind of blending between these two approaches that is the ideal, right? And to know for ourselves when I need a little time to sharpen my sword and when I need to get out and use it. It may not be perfect, but it's good enough. And it's time to just start cutting the path and to do the best that we can do by getting out there in the world and building the kinds of bridges we talked about and serving in the kinds of ways we've talked about, volunteering in new ways, you know, just doing new things. I just was exposed at the Interfaith exposed to the fact that like 90 transgender people are coming over the border from Tijuana seeking asylum, and Will McGarvey, the CEO of Interfaith Council, said he heard some of their stories, and he started crying as he didn't tell us the stories, but just even saying that. And I just thought, you know, I want to sponsor one of those people. And there's an opportunity for that in our county, that if you have an extra room or some way that you want to help sponsor, there's an opportunity for us soon to be able to reach out to some of these people. Maybe that doesn't speak to you, but maybe something else does. Maybe something that takes you out of your comfort zone and brings that sword that is sharp enough to offer something new to the world, some new way that you can build a bridge or offer something kind to someone else, to be a mender, to create this new consciousness in the world together. We're up for it, aren't we? We're here. We've arrived. We're on the precipice. It's all here for us. Everything is here for us. We may have to give up a few comforts, but it's such a minor thing compared to what lies in the promised land of mender consciousness. What lies for us, what is ahead of us in terms of how we can live from these amazing hearts and souls, it's there for us. It's here for us. It's waiting to be birthed, and it only needs us to say, yes, I'll step in. Yes, I'll change. Yes, I'll do what's needed in order to bring forth, to embody this idea of unity that we are named so aptly for. So let's know it together. Let's affirm this together, and let's move forward out of the shadows and completely into the light. Together, I leave behind the breaker mentality. I am a mender, creating a world that works for all. And so it is. Bless you.